this morning is from Matthew chapter 18 and verses 15 to 35. Matthew chapter 18 and starting at verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay his debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told the master everything that had happened. The master called in the servant. You wicked servant, he said, I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart.
Morning, everyone.
Good morning. Gracious Father, we ask that as we turn to your word, you would help us. Help us to understand, help us to receive what you are giving us. Help us to get that clearly, help us to discern, to correct, to be challenged, to be encouraged, to be changed by your word, which is what your word is doing in us. Your word, by your spirit, is making us more like Jesus, and we pray that we would be so today, and keep me from error, we would ask. Amen. One of the things about Matthew's gospel, all the gospels, is that they are often forested through to get principles. And there's no better example than Matthew 18, 15 to 35. How does this actual passage function in Matthew's gospel is often lost on people who do this. So one thing I'm not going to be doing today too much is talking about how we do these things, particularly the end of the passage. Because when Jesus gives it to them, it's part of the whole gospel we've been speaking about and where we've been going. We will be able to get things from what Jesus says because Jesus is Jesus. But he doesn't say everything here. He doesn't say everything. He gives you the principle behind it. We will get that. But how we should do these things is not my total, not really my concern today. I might disappoint someone in that. So we're looking at how this makes Matthew's gospel move along, as we've been doing all the time. What does Jesus, why does he give this passage at this time? Because we know we've turned a corner in Matthew's gospel. We're heading to the cross this Palm Sunday. This Palm Sunday where we recognise, remember, that people rejoiced in the coming of the King. Matthew's gospel has been leading us all that way. It's been amazing. We're not up to where you would want to be. You would want it to actually be doing Palm Sunday, but we would want to be up to where we do the cross next week, but we're not there. We're still in Matthew chapter 18. But Matthew's gospel has been speaking about exactly those events. Jesus continually speaks about them to the distress of his disciples. And he's addressed that distress when they asked who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We remember from last week. And what did Jesus do? He put up a little child. Why did he put up the little child? He did that to not talk about children. He did that to talk about us. We were to become like a little child. Remember that? He was saying, what are we to be like? To be humble. People who are coming into the kingdom of heaven are not people who are worried about who the greatest is, because they receive what they are given by what their father. Because what are we given? Everything. Everything comes from our heavenly Father. And we are to accept what God forgives, not come to him with what we have. What we have will be filthy rags. That's a familiar term. Their Father in heaven gives, and they are to receive. And so Jesus now talks about forgiveness, which is what today is about, forgiveness. He uses a hypothetical, but you can easily understand what he's doing. Firstly, from verses 15 to 18, it's forgiving one another. If your brother sins against you, go and show to him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you've won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen, tell it to the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I've always loved loosing things. It's the only time I ever use the word is here, loosing. But anyway. The brother person, brother, sister we could use here, is someone you know. You are in, we might use inside term, fellowship with. You are in your inner circle. You have that relationship. And the instruction is quite simple. Go to them. Go to them and show them his fault. Now, one of the things that Jesus doesn't say is how to. And one of the things I said I wouldn't do would be comment too much on it. But I assure you, if you go and go, sorry to pick on you, Bill. I won't pick on you. If you go, you did this, that won't work. That whole manner of doing that is not the way to do it. But Jesus doesn't comment on that. If you go and with the idea to reconcile instead of accuse, then you will get a response, hopefully. But anyway, Jesus does not talk about how you do those things. Please note that. And I'm not going to say too much more about it. But it's between you and that person, one to one. And if there's a positive, if they listen to you, then you've gained a brother, a friend. It could go badly, which is what verse 16 is happening. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you. This is so every accusation is established by two or three witnesses. That comes from Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15, loosely. The other person is not there to join in. He's not there to back you up. It's not now two against one. That's not the idea. That's not what Jesus is saying. I'll make that comment. He's saying they're there to witness, to see what's coming, to see what's happening, to see if an adjudication, if you like, so that the person might realise, okay, this person thinks that's reasonable, or that person can say, oh, whatever. It's not to gang up. It's actually to help the processes. If he refuses to listen in verse 17, then you take it to the assembly. Could mean the assembly of the Israelites. It says church here, but there is no church. So do realise that. It means gathering, assembly. Obviously in our context, it does mean church probably. It also means it could mean the synagogue here, for example. But the point is clear. Irresolvable disputes between people who call themselves fellow believers in Christ, we'll say, need to have these things sometimes taken to a wider context, to a wider assembly. Even then, it was possible that it couldn't be solved, says Jesus. And so if he still refuses in verse 17b, then the tragic conclusion comes. And here Jesus picks up an idiom. You know what an idiom is? I've been an idiot sometimes, like then. Idiom. An idiom he picks up is treat him as a pagan or a tax collector, which is funny, of course, and ironic because Jesus in Matthew's gospel has met pagans and had plenty to do with them. He's met tax collectors. We know of one very famous one and had everything to do with him. So he's just picking up the idiom of the day and using it so everyone knows how to treat them. He's not backing it up. He's not saying that's what you do because he's done something else, but he's letting them so they understand. It's a solemn declaration, though, in verse 18. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Two contrasts between bind, loosed, earth, and heaven. Their binding and loosing is ratified in heaven. What you do here will be ratified there. That's not the first time we've come across this type of teaching. Chapter 16, verse 18 to 19, Jesus again spoke about that when talking about the keys of the kingdom. It refers, I would say, to the gospel ministry that if we jump to the end of the book, which you know I like to do, chapter 28, verses 16 to 20, it refers to the ministry of the good news about the kingdom, about Jesus. So if a person has a place in the kingdom, then they have responded positively to the good news of Jesus. They are people who act humbly and conduct themselves like the child who gets into the kingdom. They are people who agree together in that humility. And as they do that, they should come together. Where the community agrees by the Holy Spirit, God has spoken and acted. And that leads to an important pronouncement in verse 19. Forgiveness in fellowship, which is verses 19 to 20. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. It's a wonderful statement about what is going on between us. God's Spirit binds us together in his love, and so we can act in a way that is pleasing and righteous. Jesus promises that prayers arise from what agreed upon by two or three. And these things will be answered and ratified, we might say, by our Father in heaven. That's a wonderful insight, two or three coming together, there am I with them, because that's part of the point of what Jesus is saying. Where two or three are together, when they have a dispute, they should come together as one, because that's who they are in Christ. When two or three of us gather together, Jesus is here. Every now and then you'll hear us a prayer in a church that says, God, please come. That sort of thing. Holy Spirit, please come. That sort of idea. It doesn't make sense, because being here, two or three, Jesus tells you he's always with us. Of course he's here. You don't have to ask him to come. What we should do is thank you that you are always with us. That's another point. This looks ahead to the time of the kingdom, though, where two or three come together in my name. It looks ahead. Remember, this hasn't happened in Matthew's gospel. The cross is still coming. We are on the other side of the cross. The cross, we're over there. They're here, coming towards it. So they don't understand. Jesus is speaking that after the resurrection, they will know that unity. They're still looking forward to Matthew 1:21, where Jesus' actions will save his people from their sins, which is Matthew 1:21. He's still looking forward to the time at here, to Matthew 28:20, when Jesus says, I am with you always to the end of the age. What a wonderful promise that is. And he's telling them that's what's going to happen. Where you are together, I am there. I'm with you. As you know, they're just in a place where they realize that people haven't turned. They haven't turned and become like children. They haven't found the Messiah's healing in Jesus. But Jesus is acting as the good shepherd. He's seeking the lost ones, that's us, it's anyone, the little ones, he calls them, the lost sheep. And this ought to be reflected in the way the disciples react together and live together. Of course, we will say that should reflect in how we live together. We need to be people, as we share this mission together, we need to be people who practice what we preach. There's a well-used sign. We need to be people of reconciliation, of forgiveness. It needs to be who we are. Peter gets the point, so he asks the question, how many times in verses 21 to 22? And Jesus, our third point is forgiveness is always. Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Now, we're about to do the annual congregational meeting, and there's a few figures and on pages and things like that, and we'll get concerned about that, I assume, of, you know, how they add up and whether they add up and whatever. The last thing you need to know is 77 times 7. That's not the point, is it? 70 times 7, isn't it? Sorry, 70. How many is that? That's 490, I think. Is that right, Bill? That's all right. I just had to give you a chance to do that. It's not the point, is it? Forgiveness in the end, Jesus' answer is basically saying forgiveness is unlimited. Peter wants to know the limits, and he's got a rough guide, seems pretty generous. Jesus' response is the opposite. Your limits are not even close. Infinity is what he's saying. As a person of the kingdom, forgiveness is who you are. Forgiveness is your passion, your practice, for one single reason alone. It is who God is. It is what God has done for you in the person of Jesus. They don't understand this yet, remember? They don't understand. They're getting there. They're getting to the cross. So they're still wondering, you know, where do we stand in this? When our Father in heaven, we become like a child because everything we have comes from him. Not talking about money, food, possessions. Not talking about that. We're talking about our righteousness, our forgiveness. Everything we have comes from him. And our Father in heaven has unlimited forgiveness for us. If you know that forgiveness, that's who you are. If you're someone who doesn't know forgiveness because you don't think you need that much, you will never practice forgiveness. The humility of the child is to know that you need everything that the Father can give, and what the Father says is right. I am a filthy sinner. My sins would send me to hell. They should send me to hell. But my Father said, I love you. Here is my son. And because of that, your sins can be forgiven. I'm to know that. I'm not to pretend I'm anything better than I am. I'm not. As a child, I know and I receive, and then I can be and give. Because at the core of who people are must be this forgiveness. Anything else will not be kingdom, will not be Jesus. Jesus reinforces this in a parable known as the unforgiving servant in verses 23 to 35. Forgiveness, our fourth point, forgiveness from the heart. How do you react to the parable of the unforgiving servant? You've read that a number of times, most of you. Many, many times. What strikes you about the unforgiving servant? How unfair he is. Yes. He receives so much, and then he will not give so little. He's just, everything about is unfair, isn't it? The amount he's forgiven. Yes, a lot of unfairness. He's unfair. He's unjust. He is, isn't he? He's very selfish. It's about him, and he's very happy with him when he gets it, but he can't give it. Amazing. He's amazing. He gets it for himself, but does he? That's the point of the parable. He doesn't really get it, does he? Again, the amounts, you know, the numbers. We could talk about how much he is forgiven by the master and how much he has to forgive, and there's a huge point, and we can make something of it, but it's not the point. The point is how he has, what he is like. Because Jesus says, unless you forgive your brother, your friend, your brother, sister, of course, from your heart, he's totally and utterly unforgiving. His lack of forgiveness is staggering in one sense. And the amounts might bring that out. He's been this so much and he can't even give that. The amount highlights his heart. And when we say heart, you realize the Hebrew doesn't mean our emotions, which we always mean when we say heart today. I heart you or something like that. I don't know what that means. But anyway, heart, you know, the emotions. He doesn't mean emotions. He doesn't mean head either. So we separate the two. He means who you are, the thing that makes you run, the thing that the values, the principles, the drive, the love, the purpose, the passion, the hope, the joy, everything in you that makes you you. He doesn't have that forgiveness in his heart. When we turn to our Father in heaven, we've received so much forgiveness that Jesus has promised, and we receive it. If we know how much we've received, then we should know how much we need to give. As a child, we learn lessons. And as a child, we are to imitate our Savior and listen to his instructions. When God is with us, Jesus is saying we are forgiving people. Jesus, the Son of Man, brings this forgiveness. His death will mean that we will go free. His forgiveness will be, in one sense, unfair. Not what I deserve, but it is what I'm given, and I receive it in love. Jesus takes that justice that the world deserves on himself. God takes it on himself so that we, his creation and his world, might be redeemed. We received undeserved forgiveness that we might be people of forgiveness. No one is good enough. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I know you know those verses. Jesus is saying, forgive, because you are forgiven. The Father who forgave us wants his children to forgive each other from the heart. Forgiveness is, in the end, is who we are. Reconciliation, forgiveness, it's overwhelming and abundant here. And the Son of Man, the one who we remember this Palm Sunday, this King of Glory coming to his throne is built on that act of forgiveness for us. His majesty and truth is enshrined in the principle of forgiveness. Forgiveness for us who didn't deserve. Paul will say in 2 Corinthians 1, Jesus, in verse 22, who put his seal on us and has given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. It is that heart, that way of being, that who we are people who know forgiveness, rejoice in God's mercy, and live together in that mercy. What Jesus hasn't said in this passage is a lot, and neither have I. And our world and we don't always function as this. I've seen this not work when it's tried. Why? Because people are all sorts of people. That doesn't take away what Jesus is saying. Forgiveness is what we know. Forgiveness is who we are. Forgiveness is how we deal with each other. Let's pray. Gracious Lord of forgiveness, we thank you for your mercy. This Palm Sunday, we rejoice in the coming Saviour who brought that love that changed the world, changed our hearts, changed our lives, changed history. Gracious Father, we are having so many things we haven't said this morning. We need to say so much more. But Lord, in one way we've said it all, because your greatness and love and forgiveness reigns in our lives. And we pray that we would be people who always know of your grace and mercy. We would know, Father, that you have forgiven us much. We pray that we would rest in it. We pray we would hope in it. We pray that we would embrace it, and that you, by the power of your Spirit, would make us and change us to be more like our servant Saviour Jesus, who loved us so much that he gave his life for us, that we might know life, might have it to the full forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our last song.